You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio. We are pleased to have Alice in Dairyland here. Good morning. How are you, Alice?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Ashley Hagenow, where are you from originally?
I am from Poinette, Wisconsin, so about half an hour north of Madison, give or take.
Not too far away.
Not too far.
Did you have an ag background growing up then?
Yes, I grew up very involved in 4-H and FFA. My younger sister and I exhibited livestock species like dairy cows, horses, rabbits, and even cats one year at the county fair. And I was so thankful to have experiences in those organizations, especially focused on communication and leadership and education and teamwork, that I've been able to apply to a lot of other experiences within agriculture. And so I recently graduated from the University of Minnesota this past May with a degree in agricultural communication and marketing with minors in animal science and agricultural and food business management. And I definitely use so many skills from growing up and skills that I gained in college in the role of Alice in Dairyland.
You talked about cats. It's like herding cats sometimes, right? Everything you got to put together.
Yes, it can be that way.
So right now is the right. They're asking for some people to step forward and apply to be Alice. Is that process going on right now?
That process is taking place right now. So applications for Wisconsin's 77th Alice in Dairyland closed at the end of January. So January 31st was the deadline to apply for the 77th Alice in Dairyland. And more recently, we have had preliminary interviews to determine the top six candidates. And those top six candidates were officially announced on March 1st. So it's a super exciting time for the program where we are welcoming our next group of top candidates into the fold. And they will now start to learn more about Wisconsin agriculture, Alice in Dairyland, and Door County specifically, since that is where the 77th Alice in Dairyland finals will be held with the official dates of May 2nd through the 4th.
So your reign is going to be kind of short-lived here, isn't it?
It's only about 4 months longer until I will officially pass the baton to Wisconsin's 77th Alice in Dairyland. But in those 4 months, we will be doing just as much as we've been doing the first 8 months of my year serving as the 76th Alice in Dairyland. So there's lots on the horizon for our program in terms of upcoming campaigns, events, and other activations. But I'm equally as excited for our top candidates to undergo the trainings and learn more about the role of Alice in Dairyland as we prepare for the Alice in Dairyland finals.
Is it a little bit bittersweet? I mean, is there a little jealousy there thinking, oh man, they're going to have so much fun in the next year and I'm stepping down?
It is a bittersweet moment because this experience has meant so much to me and I've loved the opportunity and continue to love the opportunity to represent Wisconsin agriculture. But what I'm so excited for is to see our next Alice in Dairyland have all of these amazing experiences and make so many memories just like I have. And she'll add her own spin onto the role. What's so special about our program is each year there is a new person who steps into the role and truly makes the experience their own based on their own skills and experiences and opportunities that they've had before Alice in Dairyland. And that's what's so special is that there's a new person each year, but the goal of the program to have an official ambassador for Wisconsin agriculture has not changed in the 76, almost 77 years that Alice in Dairyland has existed.
How good is it going to look on a resume for you now when your time is done and, you know, whatever you apply for, I'm sure that's going to help you in the future, isn't it?
Yes, there is so much personal and professional development that one gains through being Alice in Dairyland and also as a top candidate. What's really special about being a top candidate within the last few years is that all top candidates earn a marketing and communications certification through the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So regardless of the outcome of the Alice in Dairyland finals each year now, whether you are selected as Alice or if you are a top candidate, is that you walk away with a very unique certification through the Department of Agriculture here in Wisconsin, and you can apply those skills that you gain to any career in any industry. So again, there's a lot of professional development. There's so much personal development that results through this program. And I'm so thankful for the experience to apply all that I've learned and all that I've gained to a future career within agriculture.
You mentioned going to school out of state. Do other states have a similar program to Alice? I mean, it's obviously not called that, but do they have some similar things?
As I've done some research and traveled a lot as Alice in Dairyland, I have come to learn that there is no other program that I have come across that is quite as similar to Alice in Dairyland as I've been able to find out about it. So what's super unique about Alice is that, again, you are a state employee under the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection for 1 year. So you are a state employee earning a salary. It's a full-time job. And we describe Alice in Dairyland as a full-time public relations and marketing professional role. Having some Minnesota roots, a similar position would be known as Princess K of the Milky Way, if those listening have heard of that program before, where Princess K is a Goodwill ambassador for Minnesota's dairy industry. So the two programs would be similar in that they are both ambassador type roles for dairy and for agriculture, but Alice in Dairyland represents all of Wisconsin agriculture and agriculture in general, whereas Princess K focuses more specifically on the dairy industry. But both roles are so important when it comes to agriculture, especially here in the Midwest. But again, to answer your question, there is no role that I know quite like Alice in Dairyland.
Could you beat her up? Could you take her?
Hey, we love working side by side, and I've known quite a few former Princess K's as well. So it's another great program that really helps to drive that connection to agriculture.
I was just kidding, of course.
Of course.
Wisconsin cheese, famous around the world, and you talk about a new way for Wisconsinites to recognize some of their favorite cheeses. How can they go about that?
Yes, so here in America's Dairyland, we produce right around 25% of the nation's supply of cheese. And our cheese production is more than double that of any other state in the country. And part of the reason we are so well known for our cheese and cheese production is thanks in part to our nearly 1,200 licensed cheesemakers here in Wisconsin who produce over 600 varieties, styles, and types of cheese. And they're also award-winning cheeses. Our cheeses here in Wisconsin earn more awards than any other part of the world. So when it comes to this time of year, we're in the month of March. March Madness is happening. Just like we have our favorite sports teams, especially basketball teams this time of year, We also have our favorite cheeses. And now, in the midst of our Alice in Dairyland Wisconsin cheese campaign, with our artisan cheese bracket for Wisconsin, everyone can have a chance to vote for their favorite cheeses and see which Wisconsin cheese rises to the top during the month of March, just like some of our favorite sports teams will also rise to the top here in March Madness. So I'm really excited to tie in sports and Wisconsin cheese together and have a really fun campaign over the next few weeks, highlighting what makes Wisconsin cheese so special.
Is that why you brought a basketball with you?
I do have a basketball with me in the studio to honor March Madness. I was a basketball player myself in high school and really enjoy the sport both as a spectator and as a player. So it's really fun for me this month to highlight some of my experiences from growing up and how it ties in now to my role as Alice in Dairyland.
Awesome. So you were a basketball player. You were a track athlete as well.
I was. I tried to stay well-rounded in high school and growing up, but I do love sports and I love being a spectator of sports now because it's really fun to follow along with your college teams and your favorite professional sports teams. And certainly here in Wisconsin, we have a lot of sports teams to follow.
We do. So you're actually going to have a bracket for the cheeses then? Is that how that works, Ashley?
Yes, we have a Wisconsin artisan cheese bracket that we officially unveiled here at the first part of March. So we are now in the Elite Eight for our Wisconsin cheeses. So we have various varieties of cheeses, some of which we are highlighting today, that fall under that Elite Eight category. And throughout the month of March, because of everyone participating and voting for their favorite Wisconsin cheeses, we will narrow down the Elite Eight to the Final Four and eventually our champion cheese.
All right. So is this the first year you've done this, the March Madness for cheese?
Last year with our 75th Alice in Dairyland, Taylor Schaefer, was the first year that we designed this campaign to have some March Madness aspects when it comes to Wisconsin cheese. So we're building upon the campaign this year. We're excited to continue highlighting specialty cheeses here in Wisconsin, both on social media and with media outlets across Wisconsin. And we're also excited to add a retail component to the campaign this year. So I will be traveling across Wisconsin and visiting various Hy-Vee locations here in our state to hand out Wisconsin cheese samples and to really have folks taste what makes Wisconsin cheese so special.
What cheese won last year, by the way? Do you remember?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'll have to go back and look and we'll have to revisit it because there was a lot of great cheeses that come into play last year and a lot of those same cheeses are part of the campaign this year. So mozzarella, I know, did pretty well last year in addition to aged cheddar and a few of our other specialty cheeses here in Wisconsin.
So the other inquiring minds want to know, what is Alice's favorite cheese? Do you have a favorite cheese?
I love all cheeses, I do have to say. But more lately, I've really enjoyed the aged cheeses. And so one of my personal favorites that I tried for the first time this year is a Montenamore cheddar from Sartori. It's almost like Parmesan and cheddar combined, and it is such a delicious cheese. So I've really enjoyed that cheese so far in my year as Alice in Dairyland, but I can't say no to any cheese. I love them all.
So a 20-year-old cheddar, would you like that or not?
I would try a 20-year-old cheddar. You definitely have a lot of crystals in that cheese specifically, but whether it's aged cheddars or fresh mozzarellas or some of the cheeses that we will highlight here today, I just love them all because it's helping to support Wisconsin's dairy industry. And that's a super important story to tell, is all of the amazing products that come from our Wisconsin dairy farmers. And my goal as Alice is to drive demand for all of these products that everyone across Wisconsin and across the country can enjoy.
Limburger?
I've smelled Limburger. I have yet to try Limburger, but I know that there are some diehard fans of Limburger cheese, especially here in Wisconsin. And I do admire that we are the only state to produce Limburger cheese.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
Right. And there are some that are unique to Wisconsin, Colby and Colby Jack, and some of those originated right here in the state, didn't they?
They certainly did. So Colby Jack is one of the cheeses that we are focusing on during our Alice in Dairyland Wisconsin cheese campaign. And exactly right. Coljack or Colby Jack or Colby Monterey Jack, it has a few different names, was born in the town of Colby, Wisconsin. And Colby Jack is a very mild and versatile cheese. You can enjoy it melted, say, over nachos or maybe with some potatoes. You can also use Colby Jack in salads, sandwiches, in a lot of different recipes. And you can melt it maybe into some soup or a sauce. It adds a very creamy and rich flavor and texture to those types of foods. So again, Colby Jack, it's a very versatile cheese. I love just snacking on it because I love the taste of Colby Jack.
How can we tell that our cheese is made in Wisconsin?
You can tell that the dairy products, specifically cheese, like we're talking about, comes from Wisconsin when looking for the Proudly Wisconsin Dairy Badge or the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese Badge. Now, if you see this badge on dairy product packaging, you know that that cheese or that butter or that other dairy product was made and processed right here in Wisconsin. You can also look for the number 55 on milk product packaging and other dairy product packaging, as that also signifies that that specific dairy product was made and processed here in the state of Wisconsin. So when you see that badge, you know that that dairy product, it comes from the state of Wisconsin, and it's a great way to support local when it comes to our state's dairy industry as well. Since Wisconsin dairy is a true economic engine for the state of Wisconsin, as it contributes $45.6 billion annually to our state's economy. And I love the chance that every time we might purchase a Wisconsin dairy product, whether it's cheese, ice cream, butter, milk, the list goes on, you are supporting our state's dairy farmers and processors as well by doing so.
There are a lot of nice local retailers that sell a lot of nice little cheese shops all over Wisconsin, aren't there?
There are. I've gotten a chance to stop in to quite a few of those local cheese companies here in Wisconsin throughout my travels as the 76th Alice in Dairyland. And I've also had a chance to meet a few of our master cheesemakers here in Wisconsin. And our state is so unique when it comes to cheese because we are so well recognized for our cheese all over the country and all over the world. And it's so rewarding to me to especially meet the master cheesemakers and the people who truly help to make Wisconsin cheese so well recognized. And there are so many amazing businesses to support here in Wisconsin when it comes to Wisconsin cheese and Wisconsin dairy.
Here in our area, Meister Cheese in Muscadet, I know they have some unique ones, but one of them is a morel cheese, a morel mushrooms.
Yes.
That's something pretty unique to this very area, too.
You're exactly right. And you start to really see some unique flavors come into play the more that you might travel across Wisconsin and get to stop in to some of those cheese-making companies. There are more than 100 cheese-making companies here in Wisconsin, and every company has something a little bit different to offer. We recently had a Valentine's Day campaign with Alice in Dairyland where we were featuring Coco Cardova cheese from Car Valley Cheese. So they combined flavors of chocolate into the cheese, and it was a great treat to enjoy around Valentine's Day or really any time of year. But you do find some very unique flavors and flavor pairings when it comes to Wisconsin cheese.
I've heard that's good. Chocolate cheese, I guess that's legitimately a dairy product then, right?
It is. I've tried some different chocolate cheeses and they're all amazing. They're very rich because you combine the flavors of chocolate with the cheese flavors and the dairy products that are going into those different cheeses. So it's a very unique product to try, especially if you love chocolate.
What about curd? You know, I'm kind of a curd connoisseur. There are lots of different flavors of that as well, aren't there?
There are so many flavors of cheese curds. In fact, we will have some cheese curds that are part of our Wisconsin cheese campaign this year, specifically Ellsworth Cheese Curds, an amazing company to support in the Ellsworth, Wisconsin area. But I, too, love flavored cheese curds, especially maybe garlic and dill or ranch flavored cheese curds. I also like a little bit of spice So anything that has a little bit of spice when it comes to cheese is especially delicious to me. But there are so many different cheese curd flavors as well. And they're delicious, whether they're enjoyed fresh or deep fried. And you especially have to look for that squeak.
Oh, you do. You know, and I think if you're not frying them, they have to be at room temperature to really taste them, don't they?
They do. That's when you really get that squeak and that delicious flavor is brought out in the cheese curd.
Yeah, you bet. We're talking with Ashley Hagano, Alice in Dairyland here on WRCO Radio. How can people learn more about the dairy industry and some things like that we've talked about?
If you would like to learn more about Wisconsin dairy and Wisconsin cheese specifically, especially if you want to hear more stories from master cheesemakers and cheese companies here in Wisconsin, you can visit wisconsincheese.com. That is the website of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. They are our state's dairy checkoff organization, and they have amazing marketing campaigns centered specifically on Wisconsin cheese. So I would highly encourage you to check out their website. Again, that is wisconsincheese.com.
Let's talk chocolate milk a little bit. That's another favorite beverage of mine. Anything new in that department?
I also love chocolate milk, especially when it comes to athletics, right? Because low-fat chocolate milk is a great way to help muscles recover after an intense workout or after a game or maybe a cross-country meet. And what's really special to me about Wisconsin dairy, especially on the topic of chocolate milk, is that milk production starts on our dairy farms here in Wisconsin. And 95% of the dairy farms here in Wisconsin are family owned. So the best quality dairy products start with the best quality milk. And especially this time of year with March Madness and spring sports starting to begin their seasons, chocolate milk is the official beverage of the WIAA. So we're really focusing on highlighting our dairy farming families and also our athletes this time of year who are working hard during state tournaments and some upcoming games that they have. And chocolate milk is a great way to fuel all of their activities.
I've tried a lot of them. I'll put in a plug. I think my favorite chocolate milk is Quick Trips.
Ooh, Quick Trips is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Another amazing chocolate milk, if you haven't had a chance to try it, is Sassy Cow chocolate milk. They have a whole chocolate milk that is absolutely amazing. It's almost more like dessert, and it tastes absolutely delicious. But Quick Trip is also a great chocolate milk. I enjoy consuming lots of chocolate milk as I'm traveling across Wisconsin, as it adds a little bit of protein into my diet, and I'm helping to support Wisconsin dairy farming families, which you are as well when enjoying all the different chocolate milks and milk in general that we have here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Lots of different flavored milks. You know, they get into, for St. Patrick's Day, you get, you get a mint one, and, you know, there's a strawberry one and all of those. Are you fans of those too?
I love all of those flavors of milk as well. And a fun story is back in September, we have had a few Girl Scouts programs with Alice in Dairyland this year. And so one of the programs that we had this past fall was at Hord's Dairyman Farm, and Girl Scouts had the chance to tour the farm and get to see how cows are milked and learn more about Wisconsin's dairy industry. And we had a milk tasting activity as part of the lesson that day. So we had some white milk, chocolate milk, strawberry milk, and we also had pumpkin milk, all from Quick Trip at that specific educational event. And almost all of the Girl Scouts said the pumpkin milk was their favorite. So that's another flavor that I love when it comes to milk. And I love that there are different seasonal flavors, right, that we can enjoy any time of year. So yeah, there's a lot of great flavors of milk to try here in America's Dairyland.
Now you got me hungry for pumpkin milk, and I'll have to wait till September.
Gotta wait a few months.
For the next time. All right. Well, we'll take a break and come back. We have some cheese in the studio too. I think we need to maybe try that out here a little bit with Alice in Dairyland 2023. We'll be back with more in a moment from WRCO's Morning Show. Our Our morning show continues on WRCO. Alice in Dairyland is here, and it's been a tradition for us over the years to see if we can connect, and we're glad that you were passing through today. So.
Yes, I'm so thankful to be here in studio and connect about Wisconsin cheese and really all of Wisconsin agriculture.
Indeed, and we think we've talked about cheese, we've talked about dairy, but Wisconsin is so much more. Big for cranberries, like number one in the nation, aren't they?
We are. As Alice in Dairyland, I talk about all of Wisconsin agriculture and just how diverse and abundant our state's agricultural industry is. So we've been chatting a lot about cheese here this morning, and certainly cheese is one of our top commodities here in Wisconsin, in addition to dry whey, since that is a byproduct of cheese production. But some of those other commodities that we are number one in the nation for include cranberries, as well as ginseng, green beans or snap beans, and we also are the number one producer of mink pelts and bovine products. So there are many different products that Wisconsin is number one in the nation for.
So you had to learn all that when you were preparing to be Alice. What surprised you the most? Anything that comes to mind?
One commodity that I have learned a lot about is Wisconsin ginseng. So if you haven't heard of Wisconsin ginseng before, it is a specialty root crop here in Wisconsin. And most of our ginseng is grown at the 45th parallel, especially in Wausau, Wisconsin, or Marathon County. So we as a state produce 98% of cultivated ginseng for the entire country, and then we produce 10% of the world's supply of ginseng. And ginseng has a lot of uses, as I've learned, whether it's enjoyed in tea. You can also take the root and slice that root for steeping or cooking purposes. You can enjoy ginseng in its powder form, where you might put it into, say, a smoothie, or into some baked goods, or into some soup. The list really goes on about ways that we can use Wisconsin ginseng. And what fascinates me is how well this product is known all throughout the world, especially to some of our top export countries like China, Korea, and Japan. And all of that production of ginseng, or a good majority of that production, takes place right here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that big. And I remember people looking for wild ginseng back in the day. I presume they still do. But you're talking about cultivated ginseng, and
yes,
yeah, it's amazing it's that big.
Yeah, and both wild ginseng and cultivated ginseng is truly sought all over the world. What I recently learned about wild ginseng is that you might have wild ginseng sold for $2,000, $3,000, or $4,000 per pound. So since it's a little bit more rare than our cultivated ginseng, there is a lot of demand for wild ginseng. But whether it's wild ginseng or cultivated ginseng, both products definitely contribute to the strength of Wisconsin's agricultural industry, especially on the global scale.
Get up a little bit further north, too. Potatoes are pretty big in the state, too, aren't they?
Potatoes are a huge part of Wisconsin agriculture as well. We rank third in the nation for potato production here in Wisconsin, behind Idaho and Washington State. But we are the top producer east of the Mississippi, so that is a claim to fame, another claim to fame for Wisconsin. And when it comes to potato production in Wisconsin, a majority of our seed potatoes are raised in Antigo, Wisconsin. And then a lot of our potatoes are harvested and processed in the central region of Wisconsin. So we're talking near Stevens Point, Plover, Adams, Wisconsin. And our potatoes love our state soil, Antigo silt loam. So they thrive here in Wisconsin, and they are a very important part of our state's agricultural industry as well.
We talk about apples and grapes, and we have a lot of fine orchards in our area, too.
We do. Specialty crops is a lot of what I share as Alice in Dairyland as well, especially through our program, Expedition Agriculture. So this is a recent initiative within the last few years with the Alice in Dairyland program, as we had received a specialty crop block grant through the USDA, or the United States Department of Agriculture. agriculture. And Expedition Agriculture is an educational program that is specifically geared for fourth graders here in the state of Wisconsin, as this program aligns with a lot of the curriculum that is taught in fourth grade classrooms across Wisconsin. So we share about the five regions of Wisconsin. We share more about what agriculture is and what makes Wisconsin so special for agriculture. And then we share more about specialty crops here in the state of Wisconsin. So we touch on the tart cherry production, especially in Door County. And we touch on apple production and other fruits and vegetables that are raised and grown here in Wisconsin. And I love sharing this message with younger consumers here in Wisconsin, because they always walk away with a lot of different products that they are really excited to try, because they know that so many different foods are raised here in Wisconsin. So it's a very rewarding part of my experience as Alice in Dairyland, is being able to connect with that younger consumer especially. And it's been so much fun doing so through the Expedition Agriculture Program.
It's amazing how many wineries have popped up over the course of the last several years too.
There are so many wineries here in Wisconsin, and not just in one part of Wisconsin. They are all over the state of Wisconsin. So I've traveled to a few different wineries near the Lake Geneva area, in the Madison, Wisconsin area. There's quite a few wineries in Door County. And as we prepare for the 77th Alice in Dairyland Finals in Door County, I have the chance to travel up about once a month and learn more about agriculture in Door County. And wineries are definitely a part of that. And certainly the further north you go in Wisconsin, there are many wineries in the Bayfield and Ashland area, and really all over our beautiful state.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Save big during the annual filter and tool sale at Napa Richland Center in Boscobel, now through March 15th. Hi, this is John. Bring in your filter list for the best prices of the year on Napa Gold Filters. We'll have hydraulic oil and grease on sale too, plus many unadvertised specials. Don't miss it, the filter sale, now through the 15th at Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Richland Center in Boscobel.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
It is time for a news update sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. Today will be another nice early March day, a high of 53 with sunshine expected, and a few clouds tonight with a low of 30. In Richland Center, it is 25 degrees.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure just that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know getting the right product is the secret to success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you'll have the right color and products, and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. A police chief says the combined reward in the case of a three-year-old Wisconsin boy who vanished last month has risen to $25,000. Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Meinert said in a news release yesterday that a Manitowoc County Crime Stoppers reward for information leading to the location and return of Elijah Vu, or the arrest and conviction of those responsible for his disappearance, has risen to as much as $10,000. Meinert says the Crime Stoppers reward is in addition to an FBI reward of up to $15,000 in the case. The boy was last seen February 20th at a residence in Two Rivers. A man fell after a fall from a pedestrian bridge in Madison and has died.
Police report it happened Monday afternoon on the city's Far East Side. The 71-year-old fell from the bridge, then got up and began running before collapsing. Life-saving efforts were begun after he was found in a shallow creek, pulseless and not breathing. An ATV carried the man to a medical helicopter that landed nearby, but he was declared dead before it took off. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Another inmate has been found dead at a troubled Wisconsin prison, the fourth in the last 8 months. State Department of Corrections officials said Tuesday that 62-year-old Donald Meyer died at Waupun Correctional Institution on February 22nd. They said that the Dodge County Sheriff's Office and the County Medical Examiner were investigating the death and no further information was available. Meyer is the fourth prisoner to die at Waupun since June of 2023. Dean Hoffman killed himself in solitary confinement that month. Tyshawn Lemons died at the facility October 2nd. Cameron Williams died there October 30th. Their deaths remain under investigation. Residents of District 3 in Richland Center will be represented by a familiar face following the reappointment of Melanie Walters at last night's Richland County, Richland Center City Council meeting. Three individuals voiced a desire to serve in the vacant position following the resignation of Walters in late 2023. They were Walters, Brian Larson, and Grant Worthington. Walters stated that she had resigned from the position for legal reasons as she was pursuing the position of city treasurer. As a result, she could not serve on the council. Since she has withdrawn her application for employment with the city and is again eligible to serve on the council, Walters was voted to fill the vacated seat on a 7-0 vote by the council. The former Jefferson Elementary School will see new life. A plan to convert the building into a multi-use facility was submitted by Kerry Norman. The plan may include dwelling units, a daycare facility, governmental offices, professional offices, medical offices, community-based residential facilities, health and recreation facilities, and a commercial kitchen and storage facilities. In order to fulfill the plan, Norman made a request to the council to rezone the block from R3/4 to R5. The council unanimously approved the request. The council also approved the sale of property located at 921 North Jefferson Street, which had been deemed blighted. The sale to ENS Development LLC was approved for redevelopment. The redevelopment plan is to build a duplex on the property. In other action, the council approved a Class B liquor license and a transfer of a Class B beer license for RC Taco's new location at 2320 U.S. Highway 14 East. A temporary Class B beer and Class B wine license for Richland County Performing Arts Council on March 23rd and a picnic license for St. Mary of the Assumption for April 27th at 1050 North Orange Street. The next meeting scheduled for the Richland Center City Council was scheduled for Tuesday, April 2nd, which is also primary election day. The council approved to meet Tuesday, April 16th at 6:30 instead. An informational session will be held tonight for voters in the Kickapoo Area School District. The district is seeking a $1.6 million recurring referendum for operational expenses. Residents are encouraged to attend the community information meeting tonight from 6 until 7 at the Kickapoo Area High School Auditorium to find out more about the referendum. If it is approved, the funds will be phased in over 4 years at $400,000 a year over the next 4 years. Going forward, the district would have the authority to tax for the additional $1.6 million, but would not be required to tax the full amount if it is not needed. Title I Family Fun Night will be held tonight from 5 until 6 at the Richland Center High School Auditorium. See Minnesota magician Curtis Allen Head performing a show about the magic of reading. All students from the Richland Center Primary and Intermediate Schools and their families are welcome to attend. Each student will receive a free book and be entered into a drawing for your own magic kit. The burn ban for Vernon County has been lifted. The Fire Chiefs Association has lifted the ban that was in effect since Friday, March 1st, for Vernon County. Outdoor burning can resume, including burning of brush and grass at this time. Please remember that if you're going to be doing any burning, call the Vernon County Sheriff's Office Dispatch Center at 608-637-2123 before burning. This is to ensure that they are aware of the burning in case other calls come in. When you are done burning, you should notify the dispatch center to let them know your burning is complete so they can take you off the list. Please be mindful of the weather conditions on the day that you plan to burn.
Hello friends, it's Ellie from Chet's. Spring is just around the corner, and you know what that means? Chick season. Chet's is your local chick headquarters. We have heat lamps, starter feed, and even the chicks themselves. Don't forget about your furry friends. At our new location, there are so many cat and dog toys to choose from, and they're all 10% off. Stop by and check out our large selection of pet foods to keep your companions happy and healthy. We appreciate every single one of our friends, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Come say hi and check out the new store at 880 North Orange Street, Richland Center.
Today's forecast calls for sunshine and a high of 53. Tonight, a few clouds and a low of 30. Thursday, partly cloudy and continued warmer than normal, a high of 55. Thursday night, cloudy with light rain likely by midnight or so, and a low of 36. Right now in Richland Center, following yesterday's high of 53, it was 31 at midnight, and right now we're at 25 degrees.
If your driveway or parking lot is looking tired and in need of some maintenance, the best choice is Wiscoat of Lone Rock. Wiscoat, local people committed to the local area and committed to the best customer service possible. Using the best products and techniques, Wiscoat will clean, edge, patch, seal cracks, and apply seal coating. Call now for your free estimate and get your job scheduled for next spring. 608-354-7690. 608-354-7690. Visit Wiscoat.com or check Facebook for Wiscoat of Lone Rock.
People who come to Cricket stay with Cricket, just like our customer, Jaren.
I'm the singer and guitarist in a band, and I use my Cricket phone for everything. It's basically like another band member.
Don't miss a single beat. Switch today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Real customer paid for testimonial. Must bring your number to Cricket on up to a $60 a month voice plan, depending on device. Select models only while supplies last. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Sports Time today is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll check out some local and area notes and details on the Bucks returning to action tonight as they head toward the West Coast. And it was a bad day to be a pitcher yesterday in exhibition baseball with Milwaukee and San Francisco.
Are you looking to make a difference in your community? Whether you're a student between the ages of 13 to 18 looking to gain valuable experience, a retiree wanting to give back, or simply someone with a heart for service, there's a place for you at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. To learn more about volunteer opportunities and how you can get involved, contact our volunteer program coordinator. Make a difference by volunteering with the Richland Hospital and Clinics.
The SWAL is out with its all-conference girls basketball selections. Cuba City, which is playing at this weekend's WIAA State Girls Basketball Tournament, won the league going 14-0 for Coach Jason Derby, who was recognized as Coach of the Year. And Olivia Olson of Cuba City was recognized as the Player of the Year. Boscobel's Aaron Knowles makes the first team all-league. The senior had a great year scoring for the Boscobel Bulldogs. First team selection. Riverdale with two on the honorable mention, Zuri Dennis, a junior, and sophomore, Macy McKay. Marquette plays its final home game of the regular season when UConn visits the Fiserv Forum tonight. The Huskies won the first meeting between the two teams easily, 81-53 on February 17th. Before the game tips off, the Golden Eagles will honor Tyler Kolick on senior night and also Agadoro. The Marquette team is currently in second place in the Big East Conference standings and could finish anywhere from second to fourth. Kolick is expected to miss the last couple of games. When the Bucks play on the road against Golden State, Chris Middleton will miss his 12th straight game. The three-time All-Star has been out for a month. Milwaukee coach Doc Rivers says the veteran hasn't suffered a setback in his recovery from a long-lasting left ankle sprain. Rivers tells reporters he's not expecting the 32-year-old veteran to be available during the current four-game West Coast road trip. Bobby Portis talked about the Bucks' difference and how they've been holding teams below 100 points.
You know, guys just talking, communicating, doing what the coach asked of us. We drill things a lot. Might not be a lot of, you know, 5-on-5 actions or competing in practice, but we drill things and drill them and drill them, and it's been like muscle memory for us now to go out there and you can plug and play guys, and, you know, our system still looks the same no matter who's out there.
The Bucks play tonight. A game last night in college basketball from the Big Ten saw number 3 Purdue beat number 12 Illinois 77-71, the final score. It was a bad day to be a pitcher. The Brewers were outslugged by the San Francisco Giants yesterday, 13-8. Manager Pat Murphy's crew scored 5 times in the first 3 innings, then watched the Giants put 11 runs on the board. Rhys Hopkins and Wes Clark had Milwaukee home runs. Starter Jacob Junis gave up 4 runs to his former team. Murphy wasn't worried about the 4 runs. Closer Devin Williams also surrendered. The Brewers also assigned 5 players to minor league camp, including third baseman Brock Wilkin and catcher Brian Navarrete, along with pitchers Easton McGee and Harold Chirino. Milwaukee plays the Guardians this afternoon, with Colin Ray getting the start. It was a wild day yesterday, again, for the Brewers and the Giants. Other scores, St. Louis 5-4 over Minnesota. It was also Kansas City shutting out the Cubs by a score of 4-0. Several sources are reporting the Packers and offensive lineman John Runyon Jr. have a mutual interest in bringing the 3-year veteran back. It initially looked like he'd be going elsewhere after a season where he lost playing time to Sean Ryan. Runyon is strong at pass blocking, but still needs work when he blocks for the running game. The benefits of bringing him back of center looks like the knowledge of his offensive scheme and the Green Bay organization looking to put him somewhere on the line in the future as a starter or a backup. And the Badger men's basketball program will tip off next season at a legendary resort in West Virginia. The Greenbrier tip-off will feature Wisconsin Pitt, Central Florida, coming up to start next season. That's an update on sports.
Another thing that's really popped
Kubota
up lately
has
is
industry
a lot of farms. People can visit
tractor.
The farms
Hi, this
and
is
buy the
from
produce
the
right
store.
There. There are
VX
a lot of opportunities,
a real
you know, where farms have diversified and changed in the last few years.
They have, and it all goes back to supporting local. And more consumers want to know where their food comes from. And I am the same way. I love the chance to support local businesses. And I think that's what's so special about agriculture is that so many of our farmers and processors are so focused on sharing their story when it comes to how they grow and raise and harvest the food products that they sell and that they're known for. Whether it's protein products like maybe beef or chicken, or it's fruits and vegetables that are very plentiful here in Wisconsin, or it goes back to dairy products like cheese and butter and ice cream. When we produce local, then consumers have the chance to support local, and it helps to strengthen our state's agricultural economy and the local economy, and it keeps the dollars that we spend on food close to home and able to be reinvested into our communities.
Do you spend a lot of time in classrooms, Ashley?
I do. With the program Expedition Agriculture, I will have traveled to over 100 classrooms by the end of my year, serving as the 76th Allison Dairyland. And I've also gotten into classrooms with high school students through the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association. We had a few school visits back in December and at the first part of this year where I shared more about Wisconsin's potato industry. And we had the chance to try a really unique recipe that uses Wisconsin potatoes. I was making a recipe for potato and chocolate chip cookies. So students had the chance to try these delicious cookies and learn more about Wisconsin potatoes and Wisconsin agriculture in general. So there are so many fun ways that I have been able to get into classrooms across the state of Wisconsin and provide a lot of education about Wisconsin's agricultural industry.
So do you grate up a potato and put it in the cookie batter, or how do you do that?
So this recipe actually used potato chips. Oh. So we had some Wisconsin branded potato chips that we added into the recipe. And we also used a little bit of instant mashed potatoes to add some texture to those chocolate chip cookies. So they were absolutely delicious. And because we were using some potatoes, those cookies were even a little bit more crispier and more golden brown as they baked. And the potatoes did add delicious flavor. You had the sweetness of the chocolate chips and some of those other ingredients and the saltiness of potatoes. So it's a recipe I would highly recommend trying, especially if you like some sweet and savory food combinations combined. And that recipe for potato and chocolate chip cookies can be found on eatwisconsinpotatoes.com.
I'm going to have to try that. I like sweet and salt. Yeah, good stuff. You know, we go back to when I was young. It seemed like there was a cheese factory about every, I don't know, maybe several miles. And we don't have that anymore, but we still have a lot of family-owned factories, don't we?
We do. We were chatting earlier. We have over 100 cheese-making companies here in the state of Wisconsin. And all of these cheese-making companies produce very unique products when it comes to different flavors that they might add into their cheese. And they offer a few other different products as well. And in Wisconsin, dairy is truly a family-owned business with our farms, too. As we talked earlier, 95% of the dairy farms here in Wisconsin are family-owned, and that's where dairy production starts because we need high-quality milk in order to make high-quality dairy products that we are known for here in Wisconsin.
Is this true that Wisconsin's the only state to require a license to make cheese?
We are. So Wisconsin is the only state in the country that offers a master cheesemaker program. And in order to become a master cheesemaker, you must first be a licensed cheesemaker. So Wisconsin and Europe are the only two parts of the world that require their cheesemakers to be licensed. And especially in order to become a master cheesemaker and produce different varieties of cheese, oftentimes our licensed cheesemakers go to school for upwards of 10 years to learn the ins and outs of cheesemaking, as it truly is an art. And our master cheesemakers are very dedicated to their craft, and they produce some very delicious cheeses, many of which are in our Wisconsin Cheese Campaign this year.
Good stuff. Let's talk about cheese spreads. I think you've brought a couple with you today, haven't you?
I have some cheese spreads specifically from Pine River Cheese, and some of the flavors with the cheese spreads that we are featuring during our cheese campaign is a garlic and herb cheese spread, as well as a spicy beer cheese spread. So cheese spreads are blends of natural cheeses, and we also add in some other flavors to create very flavorful cheese spreads that can be used with crackers. Maybe you spread it out on a sandwich, or you can use cheese spreads in many different recipes. And cheese spreads are made from semi-soft or semi-hard cheeses. And some of those flavor examples that we add into cheese spreads might include vegetables, fruits, meats, certain spices or other flavors that truly make each cheese spread unique. And all of us can make cheese spreads at home just by using almost any variety of semi-soft or semi-hard cheese and adding in our own flavors that we might want to enjoy.
Really? I've never thought about making my own cheese spread at home.
Neither did I until this year, but it's so easy to make. Again, just by having almost any variety of semi-soft or semi semi-hard cheese, and you might add your own flavor spin on your homemade cheese spread depending on your flavor preferences.
How do you get it so it's spreadable and not like breakable where it breaks my cracker?
Great question. So it'll certainly rely on those cheeses being melted at first to really get a consistent texture. And then it's just very important that those cheese spreads are refrigerated in order to maintain that spreadable texture after they have been cooled and they're ready to be enjoyed. But I would also recommend that when you are ready to serve a cheese spread, that you leave it out at room temperature for maybe a few minutes or even a few hours before you're ready to serve, so that cheese has had a chance to get just a little bit softer to make it easy to spread on that cracker or on that piece of bread that you might be enjoying.
We went by the Super Bowl over a month ago now, but that's probably one of the biggest days for dairy products, isn't it?
I would like to think so. When it comes to all of the different foods that we might consume during a Super Bowl watch party, or even now during March Madness, certainly dairy products come into play, whether it's cheese spreads that you might use with crackers, or you have a lot of different dips that use dairy products like cheese and sour cream. I love just having a simple cheese board that you can use during maybe a Super Bowl party, a March Madness party, even around the holidays, right? There are so many ways that we can use Wisconsin dairy products for a lot of different celebrations and festivities that we might have each and every year.
Do you have a preference on a cracker or not?
I really don't have a preference on a cracker, because I enjoy all crackers. Sometimes even your classic Ritz cracker is really enjoyable to use with a lot of different Wisconsin cheeses. But I really have no personal preference when it comes to crackers. Oftentimes I'm very focused on the cheese, but the cracker is a nice compliment as well.
And venison sausage too, maybe, right?
Venison sausage and a lot of different sausages and other protein products make delicious additions to cheese boards. And fun fact, which I learned recently, a cheese board can only be referenced as a cheese board if there's only cheese and a few other garnishes, like maybe some fruits or some crackers within that board. But a cheese board becomes a charcuterie board when we might add in different meats. So that's something unique I've learned as Alice in Dairyland, is the difference between cheese boards and charcuterie boards.
So you have to have some meat involved if you're going to go to the next level then.
Exactly. If you're going to call it a charcuterie board.
Okay. Interesting. You brought along a little care package for WRCO today. What is in here? Is there something I should try that is pretty unique?
I recommend trying all of the different parts of our mini charcuterie board that we have here in studio. So I included some Colby Jack cheese, since we've been talking about Colby Jack here today. We also have some small pieces of sausage that help to make this board a charcuterie board. I also included a few sweeter ingredients in this charcuterie board, including yogurt-covered pretzels, some sweetened cashews, as well as some dried banana chips. So we made it a little bit sweet, a little bit salty. It sounds like you enjoy all sweet and salty things. So I'm really excited to have you try some of these Wisconsin products.
This is good. And this is what, Colby Jack?
That is Colby Jack cheese, specifically from Henning's cheese.
That's really good. And it's mild, too. I'm kind of more of a mild fan, I think. So
yes, Colby Jack is known for its mild flavor and its versatility. And that's why Colby Jack is so great when we mix it into maybe soups or sauces, or add it into a lot of other foods that we might be enjoying.
And the sausage is good, too, there. So
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Well, yeah, thank you. Oh, I wasn't supposed to, right? I was supposed to
wait
till the show was done.
You're supposed to enjoy it, whether it's during the show or after the show.
But yeah, you've got pretzels in there and sweet and salty and all the good things from Wisconsin. So
all great Wisconsin products.
Pretty amazing thing. How can people learn more about the Alice in Dairyland program?
If you would like to learn more about Alice in Dairyland and follow along with my adventures as Wisconsin's 76th Alice in Dairyland, or follow along with our next Alice in Dairyland, the 77th Alice in Dairyland, you can find us on our social media channels. We can be found on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or or X, formerly known as Twitter, at aliceindairyland.com. And you can also visit our website. That's aliceindairyland.com. So you can find all information about the Alice in Dairyland program history, some of our current initiatives within Alice in Dairyland, and you can also find a lot of great information as we prepare for the 77th Alice in Dairyland Finals taking place in Door County this year. Also, if you have an event coming up that you would like Alice in Dairyland to be a part of, you can visit our website. Once again, that's aliceindairyland.com, and you can request Alice through our website. So there's lots of great ways to stay engaged and connected with our program, and we would love to have you learn more about Alice in Dairyland and Wisconsin agriculture.
And you'll be there for putting the new crown on the new Alice's head then, I guess, at the ceremony?
I will be. The Alice in Dairyland Finals will take place at Stone Harbor Resort in Sturgeon Bay, and the 77th Alice will officially be announced on the evening of Saturday, May 4th. So it'll be a very exciting event. We have so enjoyed traveling to Door County and learning more about agriculture in that part of Wisconsin, and I'm very excited for our top candidates to begin their journey toward becoming Wisconsin's 77th Alice in Dairyland.
So what is up next for you, Ashley, for this next year?
I am looking forward to continuing to represent Wisconsin agriculture through the month of July as Wisconsin's 76th Alice in Dairyland. And after my year of service has concluded, I look forward to staying involved in agriculture, both personally and professionally. I look forward to having a career in agriculture after my year of Alice in Dairyland is concluded, to hopefully continue positively impacting our state's farmers and processors here in Wisconsin and representing farmers across the United States. And personally, I look forward to staying engaged in agriculture through volunteering and staying involved as a mentor, maybe through 4-H or FFA or other agricultural organizations. There are so many opportunities when it comes to Wisconsin agriculture, and I look forward to seeing what else is out there when it comes to the industry of agriculture.
You think you'll wind up on a farm someday?
Could be. One never knows. But I know that what I love about agriculture is the people. And that is what initially inspired me to become more involved in this industry. And the people are what really, truly inspire me every day. So whether I'm on a farm or off the farm, engaging in agriculture in a lot of different ways, my goal is to positively impact the hardworking people who truly make agriculture possible.
You've learned a lot, haven't you?
I've learned so much. And every day, I'm certainly learning something new as Alice in Dairyland.
Great. Great to have you here.
Thank you again.
Nice to meet you. You bet. Ashley Hagenow, who is the 76th Alice in Dairyland on our morning show today.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
This comes first.